Another big story out of Asia. All week long, we've been reminded of the special history and relationship between the United States and the Philippines, as the people in the devastated city of Tacloban, recovering from Typhoon Haiyan, look to the United States for assistance. We can also think back to the tumultuous political changes in the Philippines back in the 1980s.
Like Abraham Lincoln, I understand that force may be necessary before mercy. Like Lincoln, I don't relish it. Yet I will do whatever it takes to defend the integrity and freedom of my country.
Invoking Lincoln before a joint session of Congress, Cory Aquino in the 80s, the first president of the Philippines after the revolution that swept dictator Ferdinand Marcos from power. Former U.S. ambassador to the Philippines, Stephen Bosworth, witnessed that revolution firsthand as ambassador from 1984 to 1987. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
You know, I'm wondering how you think the famous people power revolution of the 1980s and this relationship between the Philippines and the U.S. prepares the country or even impedes it facing this long recovery after the typhoon.
Well, I think it's an asset in several ways, but most importantly, probably it's a asset because the Philippines has now a broadly based democratic system. It's not the most efficient system in the world, but it is a broad-based democratic system, and I think they're going to need that kind of popular support and popular participation in order to maintain some momentum going through what is, as you point out, going to be a very difficult recovery from this natural disaster.
Do you think the limited experience with democracy, and it's been a successful one in the Philippines with the problems, as you note, engages people in the recovery effort together? What we saw in the Haiti after the earthquake was that people were so disengaged because of their lack of experience with democracy that it really made it very difficult for the government to do anything of substance.
Well, I think the Philippines is a quite different place than was Haiti after the earthquake. There is a broad base of democratic participation in the Philippines. Their big problem, I think, is geography. An island nation with over 700 populated islands, over 70 dialects, just communicating between Manila and the provinces, the other islands, is a challenge. Moving materials, as we've seen over the last week, into these islands which have been heavily affected, is a challenge. So the logistics of all of this is going to be something that's going to be difficult for the Philippines to overcome. But I think that they do have the benefit of having a broadly based democratic system.
What has inspired you in the last week as you look to the Philippine response, the U.S. response, and recalling your time in the Philippines?
Well, I think it's been a time of inspiration in terms of the international reaction to this tragedy, not just the United States, but other countries in Asia and indeed around the world. But the pictures on television, the images of Filipinos who are so badly affected by what has happened are really, for me, particularly heart-wrenching. It's been a difficult week for the Philippines, and it's going to be a difficult few years coming at them.
What is the sensitivity in U.S. involvement in the recovery effort? Certainly in the Marcos period and then after, there was a lot of concern that the U.S. would behave more like a colonial master than an ally in fostering democracy in the Philippines. How do you think that's in play now?
Well, it's a very different relationship now than it was back in the 1980s when I was there during those dramatic events. The relationship is still important. We still have a very strong tie to the Philippines, but it's very different than it was in the 80s at the height of the Cold War when we had two huge military bases there, when the experience with Ferdinand Marcos, who postured himself as a major U.S. asset, was still fresh in everyone's mind. I think the Philippines has come a long way in terms of establishing an independent base as a sovereign country. And I think that that's going to serve them well as they move forward. But they will need help. They need help desperately right now. And I think that the United States has demonstrated that we're prepared to step up and do what we can.
Do you think the politically sensitive decision of forgiving the debt burden after the revolution during your time as ambassador helped to lay the groundwork for the Philippine economy to be as resilient as it has demonstrated over the last few decades?
Well, we didn't really forgive it entirely, but we did make it easier for them to repay it. And I think that that has given us some credibility there. But this is an effort that the Philippines itself has to really take on. And I think they are capable of doing that. They have built a much stronger economy now than it was when we were there, although they have problems and they have a ways still to go. But the nature of our relationship there has changed. It's still very positive. It's still very important. But I don't think anyone any longer has any serious concerns that somehow we are in a neo-colonialist phase in the Philippines.
Do you have any memories of Tacloban during your time there that you're reminded of looking at the recovery effort this week?
I remember vividly going there in 1980s when we were celebrating the anniversary of the Leyte landings. And, of course, that's very near Tacloban. And my wife and I were there along with others from the diplomatic corps. And our hostess for the day was Imelda Marcos, who was, of course, from Leyte, from that region of the Philippines. And it was a day that someday I may write a story about.
Well, certainly poignant thoughts and memories, thinking about a city that's very much changed by the events of this week. Ambassador Bosworth, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. It's good to be with you.
Ambassador Stephen Bosworth, former ambassador to the Philippines from 1984 to 1987, now a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School's Belfer Center.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.